This episode of Rise Up is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. Minute with Mary, of course, is the place to get all of your beauty needs, cosmetic, maybe skincare, especially my 4D mascara. If you have not yet tried the 4D mascara, you're missing out. It gives you the look of false eyelashes. You know those pesky ones you have to glue on your eyeballs? Well, hopefully not your eyeballs, but you know what I'm talking about. It gives you that look, but no glue, no hassle.
Not on your eyeballs.
No, man, it's all good. And because you are a listener of Rise Up, you're a listener of Blake and mine, we want to make sure that you have an amazing discount. So what we're doing is every month, you're getting a special discount on a hot item. And this month that we're recording, September of 2019, it is the 4D Epic Mascara. Go to MinuteWithMary.com/discount.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Rise Up. It's a podcast dedicated to the smash Broadway hit Hamilton. So sit back, relax, and let's raise a glass to freedom.
We gonna rise up, ain't time to take a shot. We gonna rise up, ain't time to take a shot. We gonna rise up,
it's time to take a shot.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I freaking love Hamilton. I was preparing for this episode today, and as I was on the way home, I was just crying in my car. And you want to know the worst part? You want to know the absolute worst part about it is?
What?
I'm listening to the soundtrack, and you know, obviously we're going to get into why, and we're going to play some sound for this episode. And I'm sitting there in my car on the highway on 95 in traffic. I'm sobbing in my car listening to one of these songs, and as I'm sobbing, I realize there's people around me.
Yeah.
And I look to my right, and I look to my left. There are two people staring at me as I'm sobbing to one of these songs, and all I wanted to do was crawl in a hole and die.
Oh. Well, I'm glad you didn't.
So, yeah, it was pretty incredible. I realized that I was not in my bubble. I was not in the comfort of my own home. I was in a very public area listening to Hamilton crying.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Gracious.
I'm awesome.
Well, you're like here. That. You're here now, and you're all good, my friend.
Yes, we're here. We're here to do another good episode. Well, not good, but hopefully fantastic episode of Rise Up Hamilton. And today, you know, as you see in the title of this episode, we're going to be talking about Hamilton himself, mm-hmm. the character, not the history of it or the story of it. We're not going to be talking about why Burr is could be the main character of the story. We are giving props to Hamilton, the character himself, and why he is just such an amazing character, why
yes.
he works, why... As much as I love Burr, Hamilton makes the story go as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a lot of fun. I've been looking forward. This is like, as I said in the last episode, like the Burr episode was the real reason why I want to do this podcast. But this is like, this is like 1B.
Yeah.
This episode, I really loved it. I was so excited about it.
Well, yeah. Before we dive into this episode, we want to, of course, remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast. You can find Blake and I on all sorts of social media. All you have to do is search Mary and Blake and head to maryandblake.com to find all of our other podcasts and blogs.
Ladies and gentlemen, you could have been anywhere in the world tonight, but you're here with us in New York City. Are you ready for a cabinet meeting, huh? The issue on the table.
Well, today we're talking about why Alexander Hamilton is a broken but sympathetic main character that seems to have all the answers, but none that fix the problems he faces throughout his life. Plus, why he seems to be his own worst enemy. And you know, I feel like that should be the hashtag for being a freaking adult.
What are you trying to tell me here?
I'm talking about me.
Your own worst enemy?
Yep. Probably you listening right now, you're like nodding your head. You're like, yeah, I am my own worst enemy. Well, maybe some of you may actually have like a real worst enemy.
You have a nemesis.
I might have an enemy.
An enemy? An enema? You have an enema?
An enema. Isn't that what like clownfish live in?
I have no idea.
It's a sea creature that has like oogity boogities coming out of the top of it, and it stings things.
Wait, what comes out of the top of it?
Oogity boogities.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
You have a nemesis. You have an arch nemesis.
Well, yes,
that's right.
A couple.
You have a couple.
Well, I have one from college who was my nemesis, and like I still like shudder when I think about him.
And then you have one that may or may not be related to me.
Yes.
That may or may not be in my life every single day.
You know, it's okay.
Yes.
It's all right. Because, you know, hashtag adulting, you learn to give a lot less care about people who are enemies because you're dealing with your own bloody self.
Because you're your own worst enemy.
You get in your own way. You stay up all night and you worry about things. You push yourself sometimes way too much. So then you end up overdoing it. And that is a huge aspect of our main character, Alexander Hamilton's faults.
I wanted to know, do you honestly think that Hamilton is his own worst enemy in this story, or is it Burr? Is it Jefferson? Is it Madison? Is it James Monroe? Or is Hamilton himself his own undoing? What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's all him. It's all his own fault, man. Let's be real. Like, from the show perspective, Jefferson could have been anybody else. I mean, Monroe could have been anybody else.
Right.
Burr, yes, was kind of in many ways his equal, but like that wasn't necessarily his undoing, except for the whole shooting him part, which kind of stunk.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
You know, like let's be real. Alexander messed up his life when he took out his pecker, okay? And he pecked somebody else in a little poke spot, right? You know what I'm talking about.
He pecks someone else in a poke spot.
Trying to be careful because sometimes I listen to podcasts and I have my kids in the car.
Oh, man.
He took out his pecker.
His schmeckle, if you
Martha
will.
Martha Washington's Tomcat was named after him for a reason, my friends.
That's true.
That is for a reason.
That is quite true. But more importantly, though, yeah, the schmeckle may have come out.
The schmeckle.
But why did the schmeckle come out? What is the reasoning behind it?
I can get into it as a female.
No, I know the reason why, but I'm saying the deep down, the deep rooted thing.
Because he thought, well, he thought he was invincible.
Right. And that is the whole part of this, that he thought that he was capable of doing many things. And his hubris got in the way.
He done messed up,
man. He thought he could do it and hide it and thought it wouldn't become a big deal. And it did. But that isn't just the one thing that makes his career fall apart. I mean, he himself makes that his whole career fall apart by being too loud, by being too brash, by saying the wrong things to the wrong people, by saying the wrong things to the right people. He caused all of these issues. And in this episode today, I think will hopefully be a deconstruction of what Hamilton does to create these problems, not just, he took Schmeckle out, which is in it itself an issue, but no, it's more like why and how does that make a compelling character for you to engage with and be a part of? Now, would you say that Hamilton is an engaging part of this? Like, do you find Hamilton as an engaging character?
Do I find him engaging?
Yes.
Yeah, betcha.
Now, why do you find him engaging? Just someone who appreciates the show and loves the music. Is it the music? Is it the dancing? Or is it the character himself?
Why? Let's see. I mean, okay. So I think he'd be kind of I would not be Alexander Hamilton's friend in real life. Okay, if I had to sit, I feel like Alexander Hamilton and I would have like been in the same class in high school, and I would have been like, "Oh my!" I would have been Burr. Stop.
Stop talking.
Stop talking. Talk less. Okay, man, that would have been me. I don't think I would have liked Alexander Hamilton, and
probably
that's
not
me.
Yes,
I am like a bit of a contrarian when it comes to like hanging out and wanting to hang out with the popular kids or like the hot guy on campus, the fancy schmancy person. Those people annoy me.
Yes.
In case you guys haven't realized, I married Blake.
Which is why she married me. a real beer drinking.
I'm like, dork. Like a normal guy who just sits in the back, is quiet, drinks his beer, likes sports.
Play some Madden.
Like, it, just a chill out guy. It was not going to be like Mr. Talks a lot. Because I think that's me. I think that's a problem. No,
You are Hamilton.
Yeah. That's the problem, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like myself.
But like, I think you have some deep-rooted issues.
Oh, completely. Well, you know, it's funny. I watch the show. I listen to the music, and you know, there must be so many great psychological deep studies on why he pushed himself. After many years of therapy for myself, I know many of the reasons why I push myself nonstop is because I didn't get recognition as a child because my parents were taking care of a handicapped child. So I just felt like this voiceless person in a world. Whereas Alexander Hamilton, you know, he was orphaned. Mm-hmm. He literally, like, he knew to be somebody to get out of the disastrous situations that he lived in growing up. Mm-hmm. He had to go big because there was no home to go to. And I don't think he ever learned that he could stop.
You know, it's funny that you say this, because the more and more that you start talking about it, and the more that I hear you talk about it, yes, Mary, the more that I realize that you are absolutely Alexander Hamilton, and I am absolutely Aaron Burr. 100%, without a doubt.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, they could have been besties.
They could have been married, apparently.
Hey.
They could have had a podcast.
Hey.
But, you know, you bring up something really important, which is Hamilton himself is not inherently likable. Like, he...
Like, if he wasn't dancing, if he wasn't singing, if he wasn't like, whatever you do, I'm on the cello. Like, if he wasn't like, oh my God, you're so funny. If you had to put up with this jabroni who wouldn't shut up. Okay, you know when you go to those staff meetings and there is that person who's like, I'm going to talk and not stop. That was Alexander Hamilton, guys. He didn't get your, like, shuffle, your cough, you're like, oh, look at the time. He didn't get that.
Right.
Because he didn't care.
And
I'm not like that. I mean, sometimes I am.
Yeah, you are. You are. You are. You are. And this comes from a place of peace and love.
I'm like thinking back to the open house meeting that we just had with the entire classroom.
Oh my
and our
God.
Teacher.
Oh my God. I just wanted to crawl in a hole once again and die.
Right, when I told her, please don't listen to our son when he says he wants to buy lunch. We packed him lunch.
The teacher says, okay, does anybody have questions? Now, okay, what I want you to understand, my dear listener, is that as soon as the teacher said, hey, we're in a room full of, I don't know, 20 adults. And as soon as the teacher says, does anybody have any questions? There was about a second and a half worth of time where in my brain I said, I can't believe this question just happened. Does anybody have questions? Because I know within that 1.5 seconds worth of time, my wife's Rolodex has...
Which one do I want? There's so many to choose
and
from.
It was like slow motion. I went through the whole process of being like, I know my wife is going to raise her hand, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to look away, and I'm going to pretend that she's not my wife because I don't want to have this question geared towards me.
You didn't even know which one it was going to be.
I didn't know any of the questions, but I went through a whole bunch of them. It was like,
I got a good one.
It was like 10 minutes worth of thought in about a second and a half, and as soon as it, wouldn't you know, boom, my wife's hand goes right up and says, hi.
Hi. Why are first graders allowed to order lunch when they don't have money and they just start a tab? How do we prevent this from happening?
And she just kept talking and she kept talking and she kept
because
talking.
Because my son has a lunch packed for him
telling
every
the teacher
single day.
Not to listen
but
to
him. But
he's
starting a tab. So please don't listen to my son, because not only does he start a tab for himself, but he also buys lunch for his friends.
Oh my God.
He's that guy at the bar, like, drinks for everybody. Chocolate milk for everybody. You want a bagel bag? You want some pizza? I got you some pizza,
God,
man. So, yeah, I basically, like, sat there and, you know, I did it and some people chuckled and I was like, oh, good.
But my wife talked so much. She talked so much that nobody else had a question. It was just Mary's question.
Oh, I thought that
nobody
had a question.
No. You just did enough talking for everybody.
No. I just was like, wow, these people have nothing to contribute.
No. Okay. That reaction right there is the perfect reason why you are likable, my love. Because it doesn't come from a place of being bad or being stupid or being like overly talkative or whatever. It comes from a place because you're a human. That is part of who you are, right?
Yeah.
And that is the reason why people engage with Hamilton, because we talk about a lot of great things about you, my love, that you are a musical savant. You put an instrument in front of you and you can play it. You're great at podcasting. You're great at business, and you're this beautiful, strong, tall, excellent woman. Yeah, these are all things that are your armor. These are the things that make you great. But there are moments when all that armor goes away and you're naked for just a half a second. Not literally naked, but you're emotionally naked for a half a second.
Yeah.
And you word vomit everywhere about how your kid buys lunch for other kids.
Blah, blah, blah.
That is likable because that is human. Somebody sees who you are. And the same thing goes for Hamilton. He has all of these great things. He's like, oh man, you know, I shouldn't brag, but man, I am amazing, astonished. I am smart. I'm doing all of these things. I have, you know, there's a million things I haven't done, but just you wait. And he's writing and he's going out there and he's bringing up money and we're going to change America. And for the first time, I'm thinking past tomorrow, yada, yada. All of these things are great. These are what make Hamilton great. But in order to make him a likable character, you have to have him be emotionally naked, at least at first. There has to be something other than all this bravado that makes him likable. You have to introduce that main character, your hero. They have to go on. They can't be 100% perfect or content or whatever. They have to start from a place somewhere that is almost insecure, and you have to get it relatively quick in order for you to embrace that character. And how do you make this historical figure, someone who has been dead for hundreds of years, how do you make that person engaging? And the first bit that's engaging actually happens in the song, amidst all the bravado of My Shot. That first bit of Mary